One's a movie buff. One watches movies just enough. Together, fun will be had by all. This is Nadine Katie at the Movies. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Nadine Katie at the Movies. I'm your host, Nathan, aka Nady, of course. And with me on this special Saturday episode is my good friend, Katie. Hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. So on today's first special episode of 2024, we're going to be talking about not just one movie, but two movies. That's right. A double feature. Now it's one movie that I saw and one movie that Katie saw. So since I'm feeling nice, we'll talk about the movie that Katie saw. So Katie has mentioned before that one of her favorite movies of all time is Mean Girls for some reason. So she decided to go see Mean Girls, the musical. It's not called that, but that's basically what it is. It is a film version of the Broadway version of Mean Girls. It came out just this past weekend, or when this episode drops, last weekend it came out. So let's go over the brief synopsis. Katie Heron is a hit with the Plastics, an A-list girl clique at her new school, when she makes the mistake of falling for Aaron Samuels, the ex-boyfriend of Alpha Plastic, Regina George. Mean Girls the Musical stars Angouri Rice, Renee Rapp, and Alil Cravalho. I hope I said her name right. I'm sorry if I didn't. So, Katie,
that cannot be right.
Let's just get right into it. What did you think of Mean Girls the Musical?
Oh, and of course you can't forget, I mean, she's a minor character, but you cannot forget the true star of the show, aka the writer, Tina Fey. As Nathan said, I think if I was asked, even probably still today, what is your favorite movie of all time, I would still say Mean Girls. I have almost every line memorized. I quote it constantly, even today. I'm sure I quoted it way more 10 years ago. It's my absolute favorite. So, of course, this was a terrifying experience to go see a musical based on a Broadway, based on a favorite. I mean, so we're already kind of, I'm a little worried going into it. Like, you know, when you filter something down multiple times, it's just not as good. So I went and saw it, and it was not an empty theater, which is new for me, you know, since I last went and saw Aquaman by myself. So there was a bunch of women wearing pink. I honestly felt like it was sort of a Barbie 2.0, if you will. Like there was, I think it's a great opportunity for girls to have like girls' night. And oh my gosh, because really anyone from their maybe middle 20s to 40s, this is like their movie. Like we grew up with this movie. So I do think it is filling that similar role to Barbie 2. Just again, getting you in the theater. Like I think they're already winning. Like they got me in the theater. I didn't care what the ratings were. I was going. That being said, Nathan, it's just so hard to compete with the first one. If I had to do a quick drive-by, I do feel like there was some new jokes I laughed at. I didn't laugh at any of the jokes that were reused. A lot of the script is the same, intentionally. Like there's a lot of lines that they use, the classic lines like fetch and you can't sit here and she doesn't even go here. A lot of the jokes are there, but I didn't laugh at them in the same way. I think just because they're not the same person saying it the right way. But all the original stuff to this movie, like the new add-ons that were jokes, I like literally like laughed out loud in the theater. So I did think that the new stuff was great. So if I had to give it like my favorite part, it would be all the new material and the acting. Man, it's really hard. I mean, what a star-studded cast, Nathan. I mean, think back to the original. Amanda Seyfried went on to be like big actress. You had Rachel McAdams, you had Lindsay Lohan, even Gretchen Wieners. I don't remember that actress's name, but she's like still to this day.
Lacey Chabert. Now she's like on all the Hallmark Christmas movies. So yes, she's made a name for herself.
So like all these queens, I'm like, I'd be terrified to follow up. But I will say right now on this episode, Renee Rapp, who played the new Regina, did an amazing job. I mean, both from a singing standpoint, from an attitude, she managed to be Regina George without being Regina George. Like, truly did not seem like she was copying paste, but at the same time, greatly succeeding at what you wanted Regina George to be. The others didn't do it for me. Angouri Rice did good as Katie, but when she turns into like plastic Katie, it's not even close to a sell. Like, the way the movie's progressing, you're like, this makes no sense how she goes from just being a little sweet girl to all of a sudden plastic. Like, the transition's too fast. I think a lot of the plot gets cut because of the songs. So you don't see that that transition. And then my other favorite was Jaquel Spivey, who plays Damien, the guy that he's almost too gay to function. I felt like he was fabulous. Like, I thought he was possibly even funnier than the original, or at least equal to the original Damien. I thought he played that role really, really well. I thought they cast him great. My least favorite characters were the side chicks, like Karen and Gretchen. The girl that was playing Karen, sweet, very beautiful girl. Singing voice is great. Dancing is great. Acting, Nathan, like, I almost felt like inappropriate laughing. Like, she seemed like she was, I don't know how to say this tactfully. She seemed like she was playing more of like a special needs person than like a dumb blonde. Like, she just, does that make sense? It sounds so bad to say, but like,
oh, yeah,
it wasn't funny dumb. It was like, oh, should I be laughing at you dumb? So right. That was probably my least favorite character. And then same, the girl playing Gretchen, just not as sassy as I would have wanted. I was wondering, Nathan, did you see the original Mean Girls? And I know it's not your favorite movie of all time like me, but do you like it? And do you think you'll ever consider watching this musical?
I don't know if I've ever seen the original one all the way through. I know the big thing that happens at the end of the movie, and it doesn't seem like it's my type of movie. It's not like, hey, you know what I want to watch? I want to watch Mean Girls. No. And no, I don't think I'll see this musical, because I think it looked dumb when I saw the first trailer. And it was kind of like what you and I were talking about before we recorded, and you didn't mention this. It's like one of those things, like, why are they making this into a movie? Like, you already have the original movie. You have the Broadway show that goes on tour. So if people want to go see it, yes, it costs a buttload of money to go see shows like that. But you have these, you already have them. They already exist in the world. Why do you feel the need? I know why you feel the need, because you want to make money. And I don't know how popular this movie is going to be, because I don't think it looks that good. Like, it looked, I thought it was like one of those Fathom events that was, but like a really bad, cheesy Fathom event that isn't going to be released everywhere because it looks really bad. That's how bad it looked.
I will admit, I think it was much better than I was anticipating, because I was with you. I watched the trailer and I, like, first of all, I see the screen, right? Mean Girls coming out, like, not Mean Girls 2, because there already was Mean Girls 2 that was horrible. But I see the screen. I'm like freaking just pumped. I'm like, mark my calendar. Then I see the trailer. I'm like, this is going to suck. But I have to go. But the movie itself, I think it did impress me. It did a lot better, but I also wanted to like it. As I was walking out of the theater tonight, it was, you know, this big group of girls in front of me, and I heard them say, that was so amazing. That was just so good. Like, obviously, original's like the, you know, iconic, but like, this was so good. I guess it's just my opinion, and maybe it's just because I'm such a diehard fan, but I tend to be with you, Nathan. Like, why? Why did we make this? Why can't we come up with new stuff? And I do think the reason, maybe to defend Tina Fey, might be she knows that that was the best movie of all time in terms of, you know, teenage drama comedy. And because of that, she's like, how can I revive it? Because young teenage girls right now aren't probably going and watching Mean Girls, but she could maybe get some of them to at least go see this movie. You know, so I do understand maybe the desire to have a legacy live on. But man, it's just not the same.
And speaking of things not being the same as their original material, let's talk about the movie I went to go see. Katie, would you like to reveal what I went to go see?
You know, yeah, yours is kind of a knockoff if you think about it. Yeah, you went and saw a movie that I do I am curious about called Book of Clarence, starring Lakeith Stanfield. I don't know who else. There's too many other people to really mention. I did see, though, that Benedict Cumberbatch is in there. And I'm now going to give you guys a brief. A down-on-his-luck man struggles to find a better life for his family while fighting to free himself out of debt. Captivated by the power and glory of the rising Messiah, he risks everything to carve his own path to a divine life and ultimately discovers that the redemptive power of belief may be his only way out.
When I first saw this trailer, I was intrigued because as a Christian, I was interested to see what they were going to do with this movie. Obviously, it's a play on the classic biblical epics. It has that feel of Ben-Hur at times. It has the feel of The Greatest Story Ever Told and those classic biblical movies. So I was very hesitant to judge before going to see it because I know a lot of people, when they first saw this trailer, they automatically were like, it's blasphemous, without even seeing the movie. And I'm trying to be better at not being those people, because I know the old me probably would have been one of those people, you know, without seeing the movie. So I went to go see it. And I will say there are moments where they borderline kind of blasphemous, but they do it in a way that they don't go over that line too much. Now, I will, and I also say, because it's Hollywood, they take artistic license with some of the characters in the Bible. One character in particular is Barabbas. And if you know the Bible at all, you know about Barabbas and how he wasn't that good of a guy. And when Jesus is being put on trial, they say, hey, we'll release Jesus or we'll release this murderer, Barabbas, and the people want Barabbas. Well, in this movie, he's not a bad guy, like at all. He's actually a good guy and he actually believes in God. And it's one of those, okay, they took that character in a direction that I didn't think they were going to. Jesus is in this movie. He is
okay. Yeah, I was gonna ask you. So, is the movie based on the understanding of like Jesus's life? Like, are we kind of, is that the baseline of the story? We're supposed to assume all of those things, or is it trying to be only use parts of that?
Well, they're playing off the fact that during the time of Jesus, there are other people claiming to be the Messiah at the same time that he was, and that's basically what Clarence decides that he's going to do. He's going to try to make money by claiming to be another Messiah, by faking miracles. He actually goes to Jesus's mother, Mary, and is like, hey, can you tell me how Jesus does his tricks? And she's like, they're not tricks. They're, you know, the people here, they call them miracles. And he's like, oh, okay. So that, okay. You're actually going to go with that story. And so, it's like a satire. It's very playful with it. But again, it doesn't, I at least I don't think so. It doesn't do it in a way where it's too like people will get offended, you know, like how people were getting offended just by the trailer. Now, I will say there was one part that I did crack up laughing, and I'm hesitant to say it because it's kind of like a spoiler a little bit. But you did mention this person in this movie. So I guess I can kind of reveal this. So, yes, Benedict Cumberbatch is in this movie. He plays a character that at the beginning of the movie, you don't even recognize that it's him. So he plays like this beggar guy who has like this really grungy hair. Like he looks like your typical old school looking homeless guy. And then by the end, near the end of the movie, he goes to this beauty salon place basically. And he asks to get beautified. And so they did. It's so funny because they do this. And so he ends up looking like your typical white Jesus. So, it was hilarious. I was cracking, like everybody in the theater was cracking up laughing. It wasn't a crazy packed theater, but the people that were there were enjoying themselves. And so it was really, really funny. And again, he gets mistaken as another person claiming to be the Messiah, because all these people are just like enamored by him right away. So obviously they're trying to play on the fact that it's because he's white, but it was hilarious. I was kind of confused by the ending. I don't know how much you want me to get into it, because I don't know if you're ever going to want to go see it, but it kind of left it with the question of, does the character of Clarence actually change? Like, something big happens to him, and then something else big happens at the end of the movie. And then you're like, does that actually transform him into a, I guess, a believer?
Or kind of, does kind of it, kind of like Bad Santa, you know, you're just not sure if he's changed at the end.
No, he's not changed at the end. But the reason I wonder this is because there's a thing that they do in the movie that every time he kind of has like a, what I would say, like a bad idea, but he thinks it's a good idea, they show this giant light bulb. Like, they show a shining light, and then they reveal it's like a light bulb on the top, like an invisible light bulb, that he's having this idea. And at the end of the movie, after this big thing happens, you see this shining light and it's a light bulb. And I'm like, are they trying to say that he didn't really change? Like, I'm hoping he did, but they kind of leave it open to interpretation, I guess. So I'm saying all this to say, I really don't know how to feel about this movie. I don't know if I would really recommend it to anybody, because there's some people that I know that probably would get offended by this movie.
Okay, I have a question then. What, I mean, I think I it seemed funny. Like, most of the trailer is including the jokes, but you can't always trust trailers, right? Like, sometimes that's the only funny parts and the rest of the movie is serious. So, like, I'm still a little bit lost as to what the genre is. Like, is this a straight comedy, or is it a thinking movie?
I mean, it definitely has comedic moments in it. I think one of my biggest dislikes is that it was kind of slow. Like, there's a lot of talking. Which, again, I'm okay with talking if it's interesting. But if I feel like I'm about to fall asleep, there are like two or three times where I found myself closing my eyes and leaning my head back. And then I opened my eyes real quick because I didn't want to miss anything, because I'm in a movie theater. And so I think that would be one of my biggest dislikes, is that I think a lot of the funny moments were in the trailer. There were some moments like the Benedict Cumberbatch thing that I did crack up laughing at. There's a moment where Clarence gets baptized, well, quote unquote, baptized by John the Baptist. That was a funny moment because he keeps on slapping him. But I don't know. I just don't know how to feel about this movie. It wasn't terrible, but
yeah, you're not selling me on it.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of a theater movie, right? Like, maybe I could argue seeing Mean Girls 2 be in theater because of, not Mean Girls 2, but new Mean Girls, because of the theater experience. Like, you go with your girlfriends, you wear pink, you get to see the dance numbers and the songs on the big screen. Sounding like this movie, The Book of Clarence, is as a nice, like, I'm already at home. If I'm bored, I can go to bed.
Yeah, it's definitely a wait until streaming kind of movie. I just wanted to go see it because I was intrigued. And by the time we're recording this, my wife and kids are gone to the beach, so I'm by myself.
I was about to say they're gone. I'm so sorry to hear that, Nathan.
Yeah. But anyway, so that is our double feature special Saturday episode, the first special Saturday episode of 2024, Mean Girls. But before we sign off, we got to rate these things. We haven't given them a rating. So, Katie, what would you give Mean Girls the musical?
With Mean Girls being the obvious, you know, 6, the new Mean Girls musical, I'm sorry, Tina, I'm going to probably give it a, gosh, this feels mean, 3.5. Like, I would pay double the amount of money to go see that, the original movie, in the theater. That's all I'm saying. So I'm glad it got me out there, but I actually admittedly was checking my phone a lot and a little bit bored. So 3.5, Tina. I'm sorry. I know you had to do it for the next generation, but not for me.
Well, and like you said, maybe it gives people a reason to go and watch the original one, because maybe people do go see it. They're like, man, that was terrible, but it's based on a movie that I've heard is really good. Maybe I'll just go and watch that. And then maybe they'll be like, the original is really good.
There you go.
There's that. So I'm going to give The Book of Clarence, I'm probably going to give it around the same that you gave Mean Girls the Musical, because I just don't know how to feel about it. But it wasn't a one movie, but it definitely wasn't a six movie either. So I'm going to give it a three. I'm not going to give it a 3.5. I'm going to give it a three. Benedict Cumberbatch's cameo was hilarious. James McAvoy was also in this too. So there are some interesting cameos. A pretty well-known all-star cast, but I don't know. So sorry for that being our first special.
I was gonna say, you know, it really makes me feel great about our choice for our season, you know, because it sounds like we may not be having enough good movies to do new releases. But anyhow, I'm excited to see what our next surprise Saturday episode will be. It'll be a surprise.
I mean, I guess I could already kind of say it because I already know what I'm seeing next. But maybe
Don't spoil it.
I'm not going to. Fine, I won't. So, Katie, how would you like to end our double feature special Saturday episode?
You just can't sit with